Blog Talk Radio.
Friday. Yeah.
Mother Ocean, I have heard you call. Wanted to sail upon your waters as I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. Watch the men who rode you switch from sails to steam. In your belly you hold the treasures you have ever seen. Most of them dream. Yes, I am a pirate, 200 years too late. The cannons don't thunder, there's nothing to plunder. I'm an over 40 victim of fate, arriving too late. I've done a bit of smuggling, and I've run my share of grass. I made enough money to buy Miami, but I pissed it away so fast. Never meant to last. Never meant to go fishing down the rock bottom again. Just a few friends. Occupation's just not around. I feel like I drown. Gonna hit a town. I feel like I drown. Gonna hit a town.
Hello, welcome to Team of Voices Radio. I am your co-host, Stephen 76, and with me is Jay Hatter. What's up, Hatter?
Hey, I'm right, man. Tell you what,
tonight
that's
we're
Jimmy Buffett.
Man,
Jimmy,
right.
Yeah,
that's Jimmy Buffett, because we're going to be talking about fishing in the man cave tonight, and what better song than a Jimmy Buffett song when it comes to fishing. Now, he even says in the song, I got to go fishing. Give you a little bit of info. Yeah.
It's a life.
Give you a little info. I'm Buff, wasn't it?
Huh. Yeah, it's definitely a life lesson.
Yeah,
I didn't take your fishing lesson, right? Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Me and my dad, too. Wow.
I remember
the first time, ten years old, I was allowed to go steelhead fishing up north with my dad and my older brother.
I got some stories.
Still the anticipation. Yeah. We'll get into some stories later.
But first let me talk about Buffett a little bit here. James William Buffett is an American singer, songwriter, musician, author, actor, and businessman. He is best known for his music, which often portrays an island escapism lifestyle. Together with his Coral Reefer Band, Buffett has recorded hit songs, including Margaritaville, ranked 234th on the Recording Industry Association of America list of Songs of the Century. And Come Monday, he has a devoted base of fans known as Parrotheads, one myself. Aside from his music career, Buffett is also a best-selling author and was involved in two restaurant chains named after his two best-known songs. He currently owns the Margaritaville Cafe restaurant chain and co-developed the now-defunct Cheeseburger in Paradise restaurant chain. Buffett is one of the world's richest musicians with a net worth of $550 million. A Pirate Looks at 40 is a song written and performed by Jimmy Buffett, and it was first released on his 1974 album A1A, which is a road in Florida, by the way, if anybody doesn't know that. And Presents Send to You is the B-side of the single. Buffett wrote the song about Philip Clark at the Chart Room, where Buffett first performed after his move to Key West. The song contains the bittersweet confession of a modern-day washed-up drug smuggler as he looks back on the first 40 years of his life, expresses lament that his preferred vocation of piracy on the high seas was long gone by the time he was born, and ponders his future. For radio play, the song was shortened by deleting the fourth verse of the single release, and the song is one of Buffett's more popular and is part of the Big Eight that he plays in almost all of his concerts and always during the second set. That's what I got.
I had $650 million, but you know who? There we go. So it's all about fishing.
Yes, it is.
It's all about fishing. Yeah. Let's see, Danny Griffin. Take you back. There you go. I'm fishing. All right. There's a prompt, like you said. It's all about fishing tonight. that was a prompt that we threw out there. It gives us sort of a wide open subject. I wrote about a memory of my dad, sort of a general thing when I first was allowed to go up. But I know it was my mom that let me go, not my dad. So thanks, Mom. The true white water river, the Klamath River in Northern California, and it was rough. You can get hurt there, you know, but great memories with my dad, my uncles, my brother, and the cold, the flipping cold. We'd always go in the second weekend in October, and then we'd go in maybe we would go in January, February, get a winter run, and it was a hit and miss. It was just absolutely flipping cold in the canyons where the sun doesn't hit the river for more than 30 minutes.
Yeah, I can remember my dad and I used to like to do this camping trip to Lake Pymatuning, always in October, and it was always so cold. We had a little pop-up StarCraft camping, and we usually never caught a damn thing, but...
Yeah, my dad had one of those too—the little pop-ups, the sleep eight.
That's the one.
Yeah,
you usually tag along with the little, like 13-inch black and white team.
Cool, Kevin Wright. Finally, my mom, she wanted to go. She needed a trailer, so my dad didn't get a bigger chair. I don't blame her.
Yeah, my mother didn't. My mother would go fishing sometimes, but not very often. And Kay doesn't usually join me very often either. She doesn't like the, she thinks it hurts the fish.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hate that argument. Yeah, I was fortunate. My wife liked to go camping. She liked some of the amenities, though. I mean, not much she would sacrifice. But I don't blame her. I remember roughing it when we'd go to the Klamath. There was nothing but a flat area that we kept private property on the Trinity. And from a key to one of the Indians, the Hoopaw Reservation it was on, and we'd go fish on the Trinity. But the gold panners ruined the Trinity, the runs. There's no fish in it anymore. And the Klamath, the Hoopaw Indians, they gill net at the mouth. Nothing gets upstream anymore. So they ruined that, the fishery. But back in the day, it was a hot spot. Smith River, the Eel River, and the Klamath. Always so cold.
Yeah. I grew up in a little harbor town that was damn near an island because it was surrounded on two sides by a river and one side by Lake Erie. So, there was plenty of fishing to do. And the steelhead ran through the Grand River. So my dad and I used to go for them all the time, too. Yeah, but...
Are they emptying into the area? They're feeding out of Erie, right? The river runs out of Erie? Yeah, right, okay. Of course it does.
Yeah.
Sorry, dumb question. Yeah, the lake up here my dad liked to go to was the Union Valley Reservoir, the Desolation Valley. And the nearest one was Folsom Lake. I fished that Folsom Lake more than anybody, I would say, and got good at what level where everything was. So I was catching fish nobody else was. Hey, do you have the fish sniffer back there? Magazine?
No.
You don't? Okay. I thought it was national. Maybe it's just places. It's just this. They usually go local and they just have what's hitting, what's not, and where to your local area. I thought it was national. Maybe it's just California. But,
we just went by
it's always under the racket by the registers, usually fish different.
Yeah,
my dad and I made it three times. Made the cover once.
Oh, awesome! That's cool.
My dad
had a lot of Ohio pins because he fished so much. I didn't fish nearly as much as he did. He had a lot of fish Ohio pins, and he's a couple of. He's passed away now, but in his workshop, they're still sitting there on the wall. A couple of smallmouth bass, really big smallmouths that he caught out in Lake Erie, sitting on the wall up there.
4 or 5 pounds or bigger?
Yeah, they're monsters. I don't know why we didn't eat them, but he wanted them out.
Sure. My first 10 pound. It was all catch and release, but I got videos of them. Video of the catch. Big fish.
I know, I got somewhere. I got to see if I can find the picture of the largemouth my son and I caught the one day. If I can find it.
Oh,
or
right
on a lower turn.
Yeah.
If I can, I'll. Yeah.
Well, I can go. While you're doing that, I'll run down the hall here and maybe get my my piece better up.
Yeah.
The Jaws. Who is that too?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
This is the best trips I ever had fishing with my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes like this. They just show up down there. Yeah. Okay, it goes like this. Traveling alongside the moon in disguise, north to the rivers of steel. Gathered in midnight to arrive by daylight, 7 days of whitewater reels. At 10 was my first time. At 10 was the first time the cold was the worst in the river, and the river had fast and mean. Flocks from my hands, you must understand, this was all part of the dream. The canyon so steep, frozen my feet, the sun never touched the stream. Fighting the cold, I felt 16 years old, the trips I had made with my dad. Sometimes the pole cat would show me those were the best trips I ever had. I miss you so much, I wish to once touch the sides of the canyon so steep. I know he would if only he could go north for one more week.
Yeah, that's a good one. To pull it at the heartstrings there a little bit at the end there, of course, because I can remember when my dad had the cancer and he couldn't go fishing anymore. He was begging if we could just get him out to Hidden Lake one more time and just prop him up with a pole in his hand. Didn't even have to bait the hook, he said, just to be there. But unfortunately, we never were able to make it happen. Because he passed away before spring hit, but
you know what he's doing right now, though. Along with my dad, yeah.
Oh yeah, fishing. He's catching the big ones now, yeah.
My dad liked to stand. I couldn't figure it out why my dad liked to stand out in that fast water, throwing that reel all the time. That one day I saw why. How do they find that thing out in that white water? You know, I can't figure it out. Well, it's very dangerous in parts. Anytime you get to like, the white water, the river, like the Klamath.
Yeah.
Maybe twice.
Marshmallow pull it straight in.
Yeah, indeed.
I can hear the nostalgic tone in your voice when you were reading.
Yeah,
great memories. I'll share one story. I'm about to tell it tonight, so I might as well do it now. And I was in that accident, bad accident, 77. I think this was 78 when we went up there. The Union Valley had been polluted with some bad carp. You know, they were just overran the lakes and the reservoirs. So they drained it and they poisoned the pools that were left behind. They didn't poison the actual base water of the dam. So any of the fish we figured was, you know, more condensed. We didn't know how it was going to be. We had to camp on a peninsula campground that we still had to walk the boat down. It seemed like a quarter mile down to the water's edge, and then we tooled over to the face of some rocks, which was directly across from the dam, which you could see six tiers. Now that's amazing, because that you never saw three usually. And it was very steep shale type filling, because it was a reservoir, man-made. But there was one rock down on the slide, so I slid down on my butt and went down and stood on this rock, and I threw out as far as I could. Now, I just walked around the corner from a view of my dad. I let my bait sink and pulled back, and I felt it fall, so I gave it a bunch of line and then just sort of let it prompt up. And this thing hit it, and I mean, I fought it for at least 10 minutes, thinking I'm going to lose this thing. I saw it a couple of times, big German brown hen, and I've got nowhere to run up and down the bank. I mean, she's got me. I've got like 10, 8 pound test. A light river reel, but not anything heavy. So I figure I'm whistling for my dad. He can't see me or hear me. So I get the fish up at least 3 times. So I'm going to lose this thing. So the next time it comes up, I'm going to ram my fingers on this fish's throat, and I'm going to scurry up this thing, which I did. Just dropped my pole and drug it up behind me. And it was about 8.5 pounds. So I go running down the little brick. I go running down the little brick, and I whistle. My dad looks at me, and I hold up that fish. And I don't see my dad move so fast. By the time I get the fish cured and baited, my dad's down there on my rock. Now, that's the only place you could fish with that loose rock. So I told him what to do. He pulled in 2 more. He pulled in a 10-pound brown and about 7-pound rainbow trout to this big hole. Yeah, it was the best fish. I took 1 more out. My dad hooked one that we never saw. It just took off and snapped his line. We found it one floating the next day, a big, huge John Brown, at least 15 pounds maybe. Mm-hmm. We don't know if that was it. And I mean, clean. They were clean. They were clean fish. It was really cold water, so it's not like it was stagnated.
Very cool. I just put on the board a picture. I only get a picture of the one bass. I don't know what happened to the picture I had of both of them. But the one that I put on the board is the one my son caught, which is actually the bigger of the two that day. I'm trying to remember how long it was. I don't remember.
10 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. So.
Yeah.
But that was at a place called Big Creek. And Kay took the picture.
Yeah.
That's a good 19-20 inch, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty close to that. I remember we weren't catching anything that day, and I told him, why don't you cast out a little further, because he just wanted to try for bluegill.
And he got real lucky that
yeah.
day.
And he cast it out a little deeper, and then all of a sudden, I wasn't in the water yet. I saw his bobber starting to move in circles, and I was like, oh, boy, he's going to get a big one.
That is a big, it's got a big girth on it.
Yeah, that's the one that he brought up with that, too. My dad always told me that you'll know you have a largemouth on your plane with you if your bobber starts doing circles, because they like to move it around like that before they grab it. And sure enough, his bobber started moving and swimming, and I was like, oh, my God, he's fast.
Cool.
So then I cast out in the same area, a little up to the side, and I brought one in just slightly smaller than that one. And James made me bring them home and clean them and eat them. So they ended up being dinner.
Yeah, I was taking care of those properties up at that, with the rich people up at that lake. The fishing there is considered the third best fishery in California, the bass fishery in California. There were some monsters in there. I fish all the time.
Yeah.
I go out the lake at night before dawn, and I'd catch a bunch of crawdads. And nobody else is catching anything. I'm knocking them dead. But it's all catch and release. I think I released.
Yeah.
I think I put back the bluegill state record in California. I knew it was big when I got it. I got video of it, how big it was. And I went and looked by a comment somebody made about the video on YouTube. And he mentioned how big it was. So I looked it up, and I believe it was almost a half a pound bigger than the state record.
Really?
It was a plate. Yeah. But, what are you going to do? I'll catch and release.
That's all I do anymore. Any fish I eat, I buy at the store now. When I go fishing, I catch and release now.
Yeah.
But there's a place that me and my dad always like to go called Hidden Lake. And
yeah.
At the time, when we first started fishing it, it was by permit only. And they would only allow 2 groups of 2 people per day to fish the lake because they were trying to repopulate it, and it was catch and release. And,
yeah.
Oh, my God. The bass the bass in that lake because nobody was fishing it. They bit like they were bluegill. I kid you. It was like almost every time you cast out, you're bringing in a bass. And I'll never forget that lake. Then they opened it up to the public.
That's what that lake up there was like because nobody fished it.
Yeah.
People would troll by once in a while, but the people, the property there, so right off their docks, it was, I mean, it just knocked them dead. They didn't want to hook on. They learned real quick.
Yeah.
I'm looking for one of the, I know I have one in this file, picture of the bass up there.
Cool.
What art. Come on. Okay, here we go. There you go. Check my new
one.
Listen to it.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
Wait for it.
I just said.
That's cool.
Made me think of Jaws. That's a beast of a bass.
It's me. That's out there again. I went on the Sacramento River a couple
this
years
is
ago.
Your sound effect?
Yeah. Like it.
Yeah. What's that?
There's one other one I got in here. I got some. That one's about 6-7 pounds, I think.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one. I could see him sucking down a frog.
Yeah, the best was those rubber worms with the little flashers.
Oh, yeah. You know what I use up here? I'm trying to think. I cannot remember what the hell they're called, but they're a split. The lure is actually up top, and then it's on an angled piece of metal, and at the bottom is a spoon and a hook. And usually it's either a yellow one or a white one catches them really good. Yes.
Sounds like a super duper. Sounds like a super duper.
If I
that metal
one.
Yeah. Okay, you're right here again.
Let's hear it, Deb.
Yeah.
Okay, here it
comes. I should send you some of the videos.
I think we're going to need a bigger boat by Deborah Lee. Hear it, hear it. Shh. It's his music. Hear it, hear it. Here he comes, it's Jaws. Hear it, hear it. He wants to eat you. Hear it, hear it. Killer shark, it's Jaws. Ripping, tearing. Here he comes, it's Jaws. Ripping, tearing. Bloody frenzied beast. Ripping, tearing. He wants to eat you. Ripping, tearing. Defies nature's laws. Spear him, kill him. This boat's way too small. Spear him, kill him. Here he comes, it's Jaws. Spear him, kill him. Damn, this boat has flaws. Spear him, kill him. Get a bigger boat. Eat this, shark boy. Here he comes, it's Jaws. Eat this, shark boy. I want to go home. Eat this, shark boy, then go straight to hell. Eat this, shark boy, die. Leave us alone.
Eat this, shark boy.
I just had to dig that out. You're talking about Jaws so much.
Well, I mean, that movie was about the ultimate fishing trip. It's just turned out.
That's for sure.
Everyone's getting sick. All right, this should have ended it with the smile, you son of a.
Show me the way to go home.
I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
I just had a drink about an hour ago.
And it got right to my head.
No matter where we go, I can't remember the rest. I don't know. But anyway.
If you see our phone, you can always hear me singing this song. Show me the way to go home. Thump, thump, thump. That one and the other one too, right? Farewell and adieu to fair Spanish ladies.
Yeah. Well, farewell and adieu.
Yeah, Quint was my favorite. Robert Shaw was awesome.
Yeah.
A little bit of a nut.
Even when he was eaten by the shark, he did a great job making you believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely looked like it hurt.
I still, to this day, whether it's a swimming pool, a lake, the ocean, I cannot go underwater without that music playing in my head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where I grew up, there's a fish pier, but they also had it painted off for a small swimming area for us to dive off of because the lake was very deep right off the pier. And sometimes we would go in the middle of the night and swim. And when I was in there and you can't touch the bottom in the middle of the night, even though you're in the lake, oh, yeah, you start
right?
hearing that music.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how Jaws got there, but he's here. I know it.
Yeah, I know what this is.
Better, why so quiet?
Then I'm searching.
Searching. In search of. Yeah, I didn't even bring a poem. I wasn't sure which one I wanted to read. But I'm fine just talking. But I know Kate brought a poem. Did you want to read your poem, hon?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I said it was okay. That's what you said on the topic for.
I know. I love that note. I was like, okay, like I would tell her no anyway.
I'm dropping you in.
Okay.
Drop me in the water. There you go.
Drop me in the water. Well, I have to say first, yeah, I remember hearing that audio recording. It's pretty cool because the music and the right words, the way it's read, it all brings it all together to bring the right heightened element of emotion that's perfect to the film, recreating it to your words.
Yeah.
It's an excellent read. It's awesome.
Especially the Damn, the boat has flaws. Damn, the boat's too small.
It does have flaws. It was a nice boat.
You could see Roy, what's his name, Roy Schreider or whatever. You could see his face when on that part. But I think we need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
And he's like, it was a fun one, a couple years old.
Yeah. How he did it, the way he did it, too. He had that cigarette just hanging off his bottom lip.
Yeah.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah. I love the picture that I found for it, too, because, like, if you look at the shark compared to the size of the boat, you knew they were in trouble. Oh, wow, it's 4 years old? Holy cow. September 2016.
Yeah.
Almost 5 years old.
Oh, I remember this one, huh?
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, still got fish in it.
Well, no, I know, that's why I asked you. Because I wasn't sure. But yeah, this is a picture prop Monday from, I think, back in September. Yeah. I call this Oceana Escapism because there's a lot of fish in the picture. So, yeah. Golden Orb, House Symphonics, Glazed Puppets of Underwater, Coral Reef Fondants, Wafer and the Ribbon Candy Senses of Serenity, Kisses and Confectionery Dollops, Packages, Turquoise Romance, Cold Feet Against Hardwood Planks is Forgivable, Against the Minnow Backdrop of Banded Fox-Faced Rabbit Fish, Shelter in the Oceana Angels, Sprinkles in the Day in Triadics of Baby Blue is Gumball Fizzy Sodas, Paper Drops Pastel Rainbows, of still waters sweeping us up in powdered pastels to wash away the world. And poem.
Awesome. It's very pretty.
That's good.
I like the use of color alone. Just that picture is just so awesome. I don't know if I could sleep there because I'd be worried, but...
Not a fish, a shark would show up?
No, like if all of a sudden you start hearing that glass cracking.
Right? I wondered if you guys would stay in that motel.
It'd be cool to sit and watch for a while, but I don't know about sleeping. But yeah, I like this a lot.
It would be really cool if that was just one mega aquarium. I could probably stay in bed all day and just watch the fish because it is stunning. But yeah, I do worry about the same thing. If I rolled over in bed and it squeaked, I'd be swearing that the window was cracking.
Crack-a-lackin'.
But I love how you put ribbon candy senses of serenity. This is a confectionery. It's like unexpected words, as always, but because of all those colors and shapes, and it almost looks like you could reach out there and grab some of it. It could be tasty candy. I mean, there is sweetest fish and all that, you know. But I thought the imagery was incredible in this one.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, you know the other problem with it, too?
What's that?
Is if you were going to, you know, have a little fun, I would worry about Rob Snyder showing up outside the window like he did in 51st Days.
Yeah? What did he do?
Don't you remember that, when Adam Sandler?
It's been a while.
He just started going...
Or Quinn could show up and sing the Ladies of Spain or whatever. He could sing for you. You could watch the bubbles rise. Tap on the glass and wave. Yeah, I never thought about that, but I don't think I would want to have fun either because, I mean, I don't know why. It's like an open window, even though it's underwater.
Yeah. You finish up and turn around, see a couple scuba divers sitting there watching.
Right? No, I'm not that voyeuristic, so I don't. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Oh, I see you put another fish in there.
Scuba divers that were videoing a documentary now have a new angle for their story.
Yeah.
Big fishies.
Yeah.
Adam, you're too quiet. Did you find what you're looking for? Did you hear Kay's
I was knee deep in the freaking vault. I'm here.
Knee deep in
the vault. That was a big bass there. The girth,
yes, sir.
The girth on him was just incredible. I mean, these things are wide-bodied aircraft.
There they go fishing again.
Yeah.
This is making me
I think that was a perfect one to bring, though, Kay. I'm still giggling that you said Steven said you can.
I'm sorry. I missed Kay's. I'm bad. Okay.
I think you're forgiven.
Oh, you know what? I brought something of interest, I think. I'll go to it.
I'll tell you one story real quick about Hidden Lake. The one time me and my dad were fishing the south end of it, and I brought in on one of those lures that I was telling you about. I brought in, no, wait a minute. This was on a Red Devil I brought it in on, a really good-sized striped bass. And my dad thought, oh, you know what, this is probably, this looks like a fish Ohio, and it would have been my first. So we grabbed it, we went over to his tackle box, got his measuring tape out to measure it, and the whole time I had another rod out there, but with a night crawler and a bobber. And I finished measuring it, and he was an inch short from me, a fish Ohio, which kind of was a little upsetting, but still it was cool because it was a good-sized fish. And then I turned around and I looked and I said, oh, where'd my bobber go? And so I just picked up the pole reeling, and I pulled in a largemouth just slightly smaller than the striped bass I just caught.
Wow.
That was a good bait.
What is the length? What is the minimum?
What's the minimum size for a large?
Yeah. For a striped bass. 12.
For a striped bass, I believe it was 12 inches. Same with the large.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But
you saying that, Stephen, just made me wonder if every town that has a lake has a hidden lake. Because there's one here,
yeah.
Hidden Lake. There's the Blue Hole, which I don't know anybody that's been able to go all the way to the bottom of yet. It's that deep. And now, as a grown-up, I've learned that if it's that blue, it's from an algae that's not exactly the safest, and you probably should have never went in there to begin with. But, you know, teenagers. But, yeah, nobody's ever been to the bottom.
Only a few. They've never made it back, though. Isn't that where they had Michael Myers? Who was that? What was the other lake?
Jason Lake.
Yeah.
The striped bass.
It's about 20. It's always 20 years later. 20 years later.
I found the size this had for a striped bass. It was 21 inches for a fish Ohio, so he was like 20 inches long. And then the large mouth I brought in was just slightly smaller.
They
were good.
Okay. You can pick the big hands. Those ones that big. I always thought that was messed up the way they should make you throw back the big hands.
Yeah, well, the Hidden Lake was always catch and release anyway, so they got thrown back. But.
Oh, okay. The Hidden Lake, I've been to Hidden Leaf in Hidden Valley. It's always hidden.
Yeah? I know.
I remember talking to my son. I was going to take him fishing, and it happened to be a beautiful day, early spring. And I took them down, and everybody's swimming at Dyke 8, Folsom Lake. I go, we'll make it down into the cove, you know, we'll get away from these people. Well, it was really sort of difficult. They were swimming, and the fish, when there people are swimming, are sort of stuck. So we got out of the furthest on the point, and we throw them out, and my son, he's probably 7, 8 years old, and he hooks in to a nice rainbow freaking trout. I think it was about 18 inches long. You should see the scramble to the trucks and stuff for the fishing poles. Looks like it was lined up. his grandma gave him the bottom of the fishing pole. But this is one of the Kmart. This was not even a good one. I mean, this was a string. I had to let him cast out on it. I knew he was going to lose this fish. I figured he was going to lose this damn fish because of that damn freaking stick. And I told him just walk backwards. And I just wrapped the hell with the truck from behind him. But I think it was it was one of the characters, cartoon characters or something of that era. You know, like a Barbie pole or a G.I. Joe pole or something. I can't remember which one. He-Man. It's been a while
I can tell you a story about the craziest thing I ever saw caught. It was actually my sister that caught it. We used to go, every other year we'd go on vacation up Wisconsin to these cabins that were right along this river that came out of a lake. I do not remember the name of the lake or the river or the cabins. I think were called Wolf Ridge Cabins. And I keep talking to Kay about maybe sometime going up there again. But it was getting close to supper time, and we were down there fishing the river off the dock. And, parents called us, time to go to the restaurant. And I reeled in, but my sister, for some reason, just set her pole down on the dock and left the bait out there in the river. We went and had dinner, and then we got back. My dad was wondering where the gear was, and my sister was like, oh, my God, I left my pole down there. So we went down there, and the pole was still on the dock, but she started to reel, and there was something really big on the end. It doubled the pole over while she was trying to reel it in. And we're thinking, this is some huge fish. They're staying at the bottom, so we're thinking it's got to be a catfish or a carp or something like that.
Yeah,
but when she brought
it
up, you wouldn't believe what the hell it was. And for it to weigh so much, it was a freaking river clam.
What? Really? Really?
It was a freshwater clam. She caught it.
Did he actually? It brought it in.
Yep. It was big, but it shouldn't have doubled the pole over the way it did.
It's like bringing in a stone, Jesus. Wow. I remember getting bites on the sack in the bite in the sloughs in Sacramento about the down catfish fishing. And we get these bites, and you pull them up, and it's just the crabs. And they'd hook them, they'd hold on to either your weight or the bait or both. And when you pull them up out of the water, then they let go. I was getting pissed. How do we catch this thing? Let's get them in here. So as soon as you got it up near the water, man, you'd fucking yank it like we had. You know, when you pull it out of the water real fast, it's sort of dangerous. So you have a hook at the end. I knew what we were trying to do. It was fun. That would be my brother's. Keep it off. Yeah, back in you can't. I don't know if there's any. I'm sure there's catfish in the Sacramento River, but it's so polluted. Anytime they say it's not healthy for pregnant women or children under 12, you got to figure it ain't healthy for me either.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, it's better go to the store and buy your fish and just catch and release.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do now. Look at that place up to see if I can find the name of this.
Bring a camera. Got to have a camera.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now everybody's going with the night with the phones now, so you don't have to worry about not having a camera.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if
I can find those cabins. I can tell you what the name of the river was.
Okay. Yeah, I found a poem. About fishing. I don't know if it's any good.
Well, what do you know? They call it the Wolf Ridge Cottages, and the name of the river is the Wolf River, so that makes sense.
There you go. Okay, this is sort of an odd story joke. It's called fishing gear. I'll give it a shot.
All right.
But maybe I should. I don't know if I get in trouble. Yeah, maybe they're not. We just had another teenager who joined our group. I saw, so we can't do this. Yeah, just a little. Yeah, a little, just a little bit. So proud of me, Jeb.
I'm looking at the folder to see how many more poems we got. We got 1, 2.
Oh yeah.
3.
Bring them out. Bring them
out. 2 poems. Now we got 1 from Phil, 1 from Wolf Spirit. I'm not sure if he's gonna call or not. But he did get permission if he doesn't, so we'll probably save him towards the last. Then we got 1 more from Deb. Do we have audio from Phil?
Deborah?
Yes, we do. Sorry. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, let me drop them down real quick here.
Okay.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm running. Just like Kay always says, she's running, I'm running, running. Don't run by the river, you'll fall in. There we go. Okay.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called A Fishy Tale. I fish for the tranquility, sitting here in my own reality, waiting for my supper to bite, even if it takes all day and night. I hear crickets play a solemn tune, a ballad, an ode to the moon, while I sit still and wait for the fish to take the bait. I feel a tug on the line. Soon it will be time to dine, fighting with the beast. Oh, this will be a fabulous feast. This is battle I must win to bring that damn fish in. At last I've caught the brute. Oh, it's only a boot. End poem.
Awesome. I like the way you read it. He gave it a little more drama.
Yeah, especially at the end with the boot.
This is great. Oh, you wrote this a year ago. You've commented on it already, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. I've never reeled in a boot. But I have almost reeled in my own anchor.
Oh, yeah?
This is cool. What do you think of that, Hatter? You ever catch a boot?
I've caught a wallet. I think it was a coat or a heavy shirt or something. Something else. No, I think just the wallet basically was the only, the other thing. I mean, I've hauled in some garbage now and then. Stick fish.
Yeah. Driftwood. I've caught driftwood. Many, many hunks of driftwood.
Hey, those are fun. They fight back sometimes. No, it's a bear. Yeah, fighting back. Look at that. Because it's just wobbling down the bottom.
Yeah.
One of the things
I used to love to do when I was a kid, because it was walking distance, me and a bunch of my buddies, we would go over to the river in the middle of the night and just tight line all night. We would stay up all night and just tight line for sheephead, catch and release.
Yeah.
Always a good time. Because sheephead may not be the most prettiest fish or the most edible fish, but they sure do put one hell of a fight when you're reeling babies in.
And that's what it's all about. You know, that some of the carp just is very, a lot of fun to catch.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Let's see.
I love how he ended that. It was really funny. I think he did a great job.
He did.
Oh,
according to him, today in history, in Australian history, according to the news reports, a feral pig in Australia drank 18 cans of beer, rolled with a cow, and then passed out under a tree.
Okay.
Just saying. You know, you can't fight those facts. Australia.
Yeah.
The pig with the partiers. Steve Jobs, but humanitarian Steve Jobs. Remember Steve Jobs, right?
Oh yeah.
The nerd guru, yeah. Secretary told him that she was late to work because her car wouldn't start. That afternoon, Jobs came back through a set of keys to a brand new Jaguar, saying, "Here, don't be late anymore." Show off.
Yeah.
There are pills that make your fart smell like roses. There are also some Father Christmas fart pills that make you smell like chocolate. On the internet, that's got to be true.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to drop off really quick.
Yeah, I'm going to look up some facts.
That means I could drop on too.
You're looking all right?
Well, there's a few I want to ask you.
Okay, well, I want to let Deb know first, though, that this is actually, this poem here was my first 10.
Oh, I remember that one.
Oh.
Yeah. And I didn't even know it. I finished writing it, and then I hit the auto write button and it said 10. I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
And this is about those, the ones that I was telling you about earlier, Hatter, that my dad and I used to go to Lake Pymatuning in October for fishing. And at the bottom in the author's notes is a picture of Lake Pymatuning at sunrise, I believe. At sunrise. Anyway, this is called An October Fishing Trip. The smell of the canvas under the retractable roof, pure darkness all around. But from the obsidian night outside the Starcraft, choir practice goes on. The bullfrogs bring the bass, crickets and swift soprano, while the cicadas scratch out tenor. Lapping of the waves against the shore keep the beat, and the wind brings the applause. The only interruption is the occasional snore as my father rolls over in his sleep. We'll catch the big one tomorrow, Dad. End poem.
Yeah, I remember this one. Yeah, this was inspired by right that Cynthia had dropped down in one of the Team of Voices shows as well. Yeah. But yeah, you know, you and your father, fishing was a big deal for you every spring, every summer, and then when we had James, and James got to be part of the tradition until he outgrew it when he was a teenager.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is beautiful.
My dad had a saying, it didn't matter whether he was fishing in a boat on the side of the river, in the camp at night or in the morning, he'd look at me and go, I wonder what the poor people are doing today. I don't know why he'd say that. He just figured he was rich. Life is wealthy. He was wealthy. Sitting there fishing, he was happy.
Yeah. That's true.
I go, I don't know.
And that's the thing, too. I remember in my author's notes, I talked about the last one, because the last one that we went on, it was even colder than usual, where it even snowed that week while we were there. And on the 13-inch black and white TV, The Shootist was showing. My dad was able to tune in The Shootist with John Wayne.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we sat there and ate chili and watched John Wayne on the little 13-inch black and white because it was just too damn cold to fish.
Yeah.
One of the January ones, we went up to a place called Junction City, and this is the place where it's in the canyon of the river Klamath, and the sun doesn't hit it in the wintertime. The sun's so low in the sky, I don't think there's part where the campground is ever gets to see the sun. So it is flipping cold. I mean, it's probably, you know, I couldn't even guess. It had to be down to like 19.9. I know that's nothing to you guys, but California boy, that's flipping cold. And That's what that was the only time I remember staying in because it was just too damn cold. Otherwise, I was, whether it was raining, that was the problem of planning these things. You didn't know what the weather was going to be like. You didn't know what the fishing was going to be like. So it was hit and miss. And we missed more than hit, but I always found a way to have a good time. So remember what I used to think, were hunters in the woods when we were up in the isolated areas in the streams of the high rivers. You'd hear these, they sounded like 22 shots or 9mm maybe. But they sounded really popping. But they were the bighorn sheep. I thought they were for gunshots my whole life. They were the bighorn sheep hitting each other, you know, they ram each other. Yeah, that's what it sounded like. Oh, God. I could see them up there. I just didn't freaking think about it. Sure. Sounds like gunshots.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the coldest fishing trip I ever been on was the one year that my dad and I and my uncle and one of my dad's friends from work decided to go ice fishing up at the islands, the islands in the middle of Lake Erie. Everything went as planned there. We actually in a, like a little single prop plane that actually landed on the ice with skis and everything. It was kind of cool. But the next day, we woke up to not even being able to open the front door because a huge blizzard hit. And we were pretty much snowed in for the whole 2 days we were there. We never fished once. I've never been ice fishing again.
Yeah, I only remember it snowing maybe twice. Always was damn cold, but I think it was only snowing twice. It was rough. It turned out being it was time with my dad. That's what it was all about. You know, you're going to go fishing? Hell yeah. I don't care if I'm catching it. I'm just going to hang with my dad. He had six boys. And the six boys, and I was the one that hung around. Followed them everywhere. My dad was I mentioned my dad was a cop. He's a good guy.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Hatter, I told you that he's torturing me. You got to look on the chat wall. He shoved the keyboard up my neck so that he could cut comfy on my lap. And the studio is like the table. I scribbled off the phone numbers too. But it's like... He don't care if I'm trying to do a show. Plus, the wind here is kicking like really bad, and it's making all kinds of noise. So he's protecting me.
Oh.
Goofball.
He's cute.
Ain't he cute? He thinks he's a puppy.
Does he by any chance have a middle initial and last name? I think Roscoe actually does.
He has a middle initial, a last name, and then my last name, too. So he's got two last names. And he's a rescue. He was two or three months old, and he already had his name when we rescued him.
Yeah, there's got to be a letter.
Is it Roscoe
Beat Go Train? Yeah, be Coltrane.
Roscoe, yeah, Coltrane W.
What would you say, Roscoe P? That is, you know, like everybody's a Billy Bob. Billy Bob.
Actually, I call him Dude.
It's funny how they get their nickname. They start responding more to their nicknames than they do their actual name.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I usually call him Dude when I'm irritated. And if I say Dude, he's like, uh-oh.
It's like we have Worf, but he's known as Woof now. He responds to Woof more.
I call him Fluffy.
Yes.
Have you guys seen that video of that cat that he comes up to the camera, and he goes,
No.
If I'm really mad, I call him by a male body part, and he answers to that, too.
No.
It starts with a D.
I got an idea.
And it rhymes with stick.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'm not going to find it.
You know, we used to have a mute cat.
Yeah, Tiggy.
Tigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. He couldn't meow.
Aww.
He just made like a that's how you do it. If you did that to him, he'd start talking back and forth with you.
Yeah.
You could do that back and forth with him forever. He was a rescue as well.
Yeah, he was a good kid.
Yeah. I would like to drop.
No, they want you to pet me, but they sort of want to bite you too. Jesus. Okay, here it is. Let's see if I can see this.
Right. You got a video of the cat?
Cat.
I don't want to send you off. How do I collect it here? I want to be able to play it in the thing. I can't right click. Let's see. Share. I don't know if this will work, but go on, go on, carry on, take me a minute here. Okay. What's the biggest fish you ever caught?
The biggest fish I ever caught probably would have been that striped bass. Oh, no, wait. Walleye. Mm-hmm. I did catch a nice size walleye.
Man.
It was, I think it was a little over 2 foot. Yeah.
What's the biggest trout? What's the biggest trout in Florida?
Trout?
Yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest with you. I've fished for trout and I've never caught one.
Any salmonoid, you know, salmon, steelhead.
Never caught any. Gone fishing for them, but got them.
If anybody talked to me, I'm sorry that my handset died. I had to go get my cell phone, so.
Okay.
I wasn't ignoring
right.
you.
Okay,
fish that I've caught the crop, I've caught crappie, I've caught perch, walleye, largemouth bass, striped bass, catfish. I think that's pretty much the most fish I've caught.
Sorry.
Oh, sheephead.
Stay together. I thought I was going to post the thing and it didn't work. I didn't pick it off.
Okay. Do you need whatever it is?
No, it's a video of that freaking cat. It's a really short video of that cat because nobody goes, mew. Mew.
All right, wait a minute. I'll put. Well, he's got. Okay,
sorry.
Here you go. It's all right. Here's the one you should have put there. And I'll get the other one down. It's no big deal.
Hey, girl, thank you. Listen to that. Check that out. See?
Cat with a crazy deep meow. Oh, cat looks familiar.
I know he does look a little bit. He looks a little bit like my boy.
So
let's see.
Turn the volume up.
Oh,
Jack.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa. Whoa. Yeah.
he say whoa?
He's like J.D. Sumner in him, the band.
Scary.
It's freaky.
Hmm.
choice.
Little Betty or what?
Yo.
I'm kidding, right?
No.
That would be eerie.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I'll make fun of the cat. That's funny.
Put the
cat. Now I have to read your exorcist cat, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what else? We have any other recordings to play? We'll be fishing.
No, but like, can you not hear us, Heather?
What?
Can you not hear us? Yeah, we can hear you. The only reason I'm asking is because, like, Stephen just told me to read my poem, and I was gone to, and you said something, and a couple different times you talked over Stephen, and I was just wondering if you could hear us.
It's not like
you to keep talking over people. So I'm like, what the heck?
Let me call back. There's a huge delay or something's going on. Okay, let me call back.
Yeah. Okay. I knew when he kept talking over you that something was up because, you know, he's not in the habit of, intentionally drowning somebody out. So, I figured he would, just look at the studio for a minute while he dials. I don't want to be in the middle of reading when he calls back.
Right.
He's a slow dialer. But Wolf is the last one on the board after this, isn't it? Here's
how. Well, so we have one from Wolf Spirit, and Kay threw another one in there she'd like to read, which I think is fine.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool. And Hatter's back.
All right.
Hey, Hatter.
Yeah, I apologize. Okay. I stepped on somebody. I wasn't aware. I did not know.
That's what I assumed. That's why I brought it up. I knew you wouldn't do it intentionally. All right, so I know I threw Jaws in there, but just because it was funny, but this one from a long time ago, my Snooks is in heaven now, but anyway, it's called With My Snooks. By the way, Snooks is what I call my paternal grandfather. But With My Snooks on the Bay at the Jersey Shore. And here we go. Down the shore with my family, he sits in the boat in the sunshine, neath the bright periwinkle sky canopy, sipping cold beer as he crabs and fishes, then flashing a smile and a wink and humming. Grandfather baits hooks with yellow corn kernels, trickling canned Budweiser in the bay like he's chumming, catching fish on his line and the crabs in a metal trap. We fish until dusk hits, gates the skyline, and we drive back home and I catch a little nap before we all dine on the catch of the day, barbecuing the flounder on the fire pit and the crabs in a big pot of beer and palm. And there's a pot of beer crabs in my author's notes and the recipe, which I could never ever do. I could not cook crabs because of what you have to do. And then under that is a recipe for frying up the flounder on the barbecue grill or fire pit.
What kind of beer? Pabst?
Budweiser.
Ham?
Budweiser. Yep.
Uh-huh.
And that picture is actually from Barnegat Bay here in Jersey.
Good. Looks beautiful. And the crab looks delicious. And I wouldn't knock it because I have had things cooked in beer before and it is delicious. It gives it a flavor. I like the
hot dogs.
I really like it. Yeah. Well, I've never tried hot dogs, but I don't know if Kay would let me. do that.
So good.
You just put the batch for yourself and you can eat some.
Yeah.
And it cooks out all the alcohol. It's just the flavor.
Right, yeah. But I like the, I don't know about actually wasting Budweiser in the water, but if it worked, if it brought the fish in, it makes me wonder. But I really like that line underneath that.
Why I always used to tease him about having to get them drunk to be able to catch them, I mean, sometimes the crabs would literally come up and you could see them at the edge, you know, through the water over the boat, like they were coming for their next swig, you know. It's whatever works. I would have never thought to bring a can of corn and make little corn kebabs out of the hook either.
Well, that I've used. I've used corn as bait before because actually I think it's rainbow trout actually will bite on whole kernel corn. But, you know, in Ohio, it's illegal to get the fish drunk. So we can't do that here, I guess. But
just dinner and a movie. In a movie,
I really like it. Yeah. That, my favorite line in this whole thing, though, is that we fish until dusk hits and confiscates the skyline. I really, really like that line. That's a really cool way to say it. This is great, Deb. I love it.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yep. Did you want to comment, huh?
Well, yeah. You know, all this is cool because at the end of the day, it's true that this is up your alley because I know in the past of how you've cooked with certain things, yeah, I know you've done a beer thing with certain things, but I also know that over the years you've had to soften how you cook because of me, because I'm a picky eater. But, yeah, I know that's something that you would really like. But this sounds like a perfect day, good memories, filled with laughter, family. I would have to agree with the line that Stephen referenced because this is awesome all around. And the author's notes, yeah, in the picture, it all brings it right home. This is perfect. Beautiful.
Thank you, Kay.
Did you grow up, did you guys have a boat?
Your father did.
My father had a boat. And your Snooks had a boat.
Well,
so everybody had a boat.
Most of the ones we had would be more considered what people would call a dinghy, but you can also rent them, you know, the fishing boats for the day.
Right.
So, more often we went on our own because, like, you really couldn't get away with the beer part when you had a captain on a rented fishing boat, but. In the dinghies, you know, who was going to know, except the fish that was coming up for it.
We figured anything you could ski behind, if you could pull a skier, that was a boat. Anything else was a fishing trawler, a small 12-foot aluminum, raft, all those things they put on your arms. Well,
my dad could have pulled a skier on his.
Yeah.
My dad had what the hell was the name of the boat? It was a 23-footer. I can't remember what the brand of the boat was, though.
I don't know.
But you could sleep on it. It had a sleeping quarters on it and everything. It was such a nice boat. But when you got sick,
they
had to go and make the bills. Bayliner. That was it.
Yep. Bayliner, yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad had, we had a 20-foot tri-haul. It was a wilderness. I don't know. It was a tri-hull. It was a freaking beautiful boat. Open end. Open swim end.
Yeah.
Get us across the lake.
Yeah,
it was funny.
My mom.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'd say we used to go trolling for the walleye out on Lake Erie, and then also for perch fishing too. I was going to mention that earlier too. For when we were perch fishing, you know, you were talking about that newsletter or that magazine. The way we found out when you're out there perch fishing on Lake Erie, you look for where the big group of boats is.
Yeah, that's true.
And then fish somewhere else because where it's quieter, you mean?
No, no, that's where you wanted to be, because that's where the school of perch was, is right there where that big group of boats was.
Oh, got you.
For the birds. The birds.
Perch is delicious. Remember that one time I come home with 40 of them?
No. Yeah. That's bad, then.
Wow.
I was up all night, suckers.
I bet you smelled good when you were done. Ugh.
That was the last time Kay let me clean fish inside.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I had to clean outside.
I can't blame her there.
Let's see, there it is.
Nah, he would bait my hook and everything so that I didn't have to touch it.
There you go. Yeah, Kay never actually fished. She would go with us sometimes and watch us, or actually you'd be sewing up on a bench or in a lawn chair while James and I fished. Yeah. And even one time I caught my sister.
Yeah. I'm
sure she loved that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she walked behind me at the wrong time, and I was casting, and I caught her right in the nose with the hook.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She didn't look too pretty with a nightcrawler hanging from her nose.
No.
How you never know, you might have invented a new type of piercing. The nightcrawler look. This might be your fault that people run around with their noses pierced. You never know.
Yeah. What was it? There was that one joke. I can't remember what show it was on. Where there was a kid sitting at the bar with a ton of piercings all over his face, and the old man sitting next to him looks at him and says, "Son, you look like you put your face in a tackle box."
So did that guy in the picture on Sweet's palm the other night. Scary dude.
Oh, I didn't see it. I'll have to look for it.
Terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I did see that one.
admittedly, if I saw this guy, I would literally run in the other direction. That's how scary he seemed to me. It was like, whoa.
Oh, my.
All right,
I'm going to Sweets right now.
Hey, El Machete, you look good.
What?
El Machete, Daniel, the Mexican with Daniel, he's always the long-haired, crazy Mexican evil dude on movies. His name's Daniel Vieira, something like that. He's El Machete. He's his claim to fame in the Spanish movies. He's El Machete.
Oh, yeah.
Are you coming along? Very nice guy. I say he's a very nice guy.
Huh. Looks like it's gone.
He was on. He was on Masked Singer. He sang Wild Thing or something like that. Machete.
There are over 28,000 species of fish around. It could even be twice that many, I'd say.
Wow.
There's some fishing facts. Parrotfish sleep in a blanket of snot. Oh, fuck, I didn't need to know. Only because he can, yeah.
I used to have posters in my room.
Go ahead. Posters of what?
All the fish in Lake Erie. I had posters of the fish, every species of fish that you could catch in Lake Erie. I have all over my room, that and Pymatuni Lake, whichever lakes that we always fished. My dad would find these posters that would show all the species, and the one wall in my room was just covered with them. It was really cool. But at Pymatuni, they stock the lake, and then, so there's a hatchery And we used to, remember we used to go there.
Yeah.
To the fish hatchery. And inside the building, there was one building open for tourists, and they had a huge aquarium. It had every fish that you could catch, that you could find in Lake Pymatuning in that aquarium. All the way, you go all the way down to the bottom of the thing, like a spiral staircase that went around it, and at the bottom, that's where the muskie always was.
Is muskie the alpha predator? Or is it the muskie would be?
He's the big one. Yeah, the muskie yeah. is the big boy. Yep.
What are some of the other big species? You got pike and
pike, yeah.
What's the other? What's the other predatory fish? Muskie and we don't have them out here, in California.
No. Well, the muskie, the northern pike, and the walleye pike would probably be the three big boys
walleye,
out here.
Yeah, but it's the muskie with the teeth, right? And the teeth of the fish that offer the predator pipe.
Yep.
Yeah.
They would hurt. I got it. My grandfather always liked to tell this story about a muskie. Want to hear it?
Yeah.
He said that he was fishing in Lake Pymatuning one day, and while he was casting along the shore, he was in a little boat, and he was watching this squirrel. There was a nut hanging on a branch that was over the lake, and the squirrel kept walking out the branch, but as he got closer, the nut would dip down into the water, and the squirrel would run back. But he kept trying. He wanted that damn nut so bad. Like three or four times he tried it, and he kept doing that. So finally, one time, I guess he said the squirrel just got so pissed, he just jumped out and grabbed the nut and landed in the water. And then this big old muskie come up and grabbed the squirrel and took him down and ate him alive. And then my grandfather says, then that muskie took that nut and put it back on the branch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all that muskie put it back in. Yeah. That's right. I remember fishing ponds, but we up at Chicken Mountain, we tried to keep any of the geese and the ducks when they would hatch, the new ones when they come outside, away from the pond. It was hard. The geese were hard because they were not tame so much. But as soon as they hit the pond, they were gone. I mean, the catfish we had in this pond were just absolutely huge. There's one or two a day.
Yeah.
Big fish.
There we go. This ain't me, of course, but I'm going to drop a nice picture of a muskie on the board here.
Okay.
I've never been close to catching a muskie. You got to put in a lot of time to get one of those big boys. Although my brother-in-law caught one.
Yeah.
Can't remember where he caught it. Might have been Pymatuning.
No.
All right. Come on, Mr. Kid. Good thing to meet again, isn't it?
Maybe.
It is. Yeah, it's going to take me a little time. And then did you want to read your poem, huh?
While you're snapping your picture?
Yeah.
Okay. This was actually another picture prompt Monday that I did fix up more better, because after I did it, I wasn't too happy, so I went back and fixed it up more. So, yeah, I feel it fits because it has fish in the sea and humans as well. Okay, I call this Creation of the Sea. Coral tears flow in weightless, silent and grace branches, embrace motion. Goddess of the water proclaims dance of the sea, shelter and dragonfly civilization. Sea lion and hearse, of gray matter, barnacled seaweed, Venetians through the mode of landscape and ideologies. Swim in harmoniously with the dolphin, glide in with ease colorfully, befriend in the rainbow fish. Her camouflaged, her beauty is me. Atlas, her piece of protection from King's eye, never far from sight. Fearful of experiment, isolation her realm, waters unsafe drowning. Personification of the sea she owns, crab claws crowned upon fiery mane. Her dance is one of the sea, possessing herbs name. Kingdom of heaven, our creation, burnt sea-like creatures, salt in the waters with anger of crust. Her dance, a guardianship, the ink mull of shallow veins, acquaintances through the echoes. End poem.
Well, I'm not going to read you these comments.
Well, I did fix them from when I first read it.
Yeah, no, but I'm not sure if you remember what I said or not.
Now I'm going down because even I forgot.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. I thought that this was...
No.
Everybody's looking to see what I said. This is great. So I really like the descriptiveness and you really did do this picture very, very much justice. You know, the picture is something that all of the fishermen always hope that we catch one day.
Yeah.
But nobody ever does. But this is really
fearful
cool.
Of experiment.
So, yeah, that's exactly how I envision Kay. That's exactly how I envision her. So leaning into the wind, you know.
She's underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's currents underwater, too.
coral crown. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Flowers in there.
I did put a picture of a muskie up on the board, too, just so if I want to see what the one looked like. Unfortunately, I am not the person with the smile on his face.
In the sword in the stone?
Yeah.
Sword in the stone. When the wizard and him, the apprentice, Arthur is... He's a crawdad and a small fish. They're fighting the witch, and he's a crawdad, and the muskie comes and fucks him. That's a muskie, right? Get up there. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Pick your arm off.
Yeah.
Back to Kay's poem for a moment, though. I remember this one, and I'm absolutely delighted that both poems that you shared tonight were from picture prompts that I gave you. And the reason I gave you this one is because I saw that as you. You were the mermaid. And I thought that the story, the images, the title, the emotion, this was like one of those total package poems. I thought it was incredible both times I heard it.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I remember what the picture that I got for that one, too. It was...
Poseidon.
Yeah, Poseidon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a cool one.
Do they bring those in to mount only? Or do they release most of them, muskies?
I never asked my brother-in-law what he did with it. I know he's got a picture of himself holding it, but I don't know if he mounted it or I've not been to his house.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody go musky.
That's true. I've never heard that either. I've heard walleye, and I know the one time.
Yeah, I think pike is a big carp. So that would be a nutto, probably. I don't know. Some people like fish.
I was going to tell you, when my dad actually hooked northern pike in the river, which is someplace you didn't find them. Usually they're out in the lake, way out in the deep, but he was in the river for some reason. And my dad brought him home, and he smoked it, and it was really good.
Okay.
So, huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never tasted it. But interesting. That's a big fish, too, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. That was a big fish, yeah.
That's a monster in that picture, though. My God.
I have to admit that the image that hit me when you said smoked it was totally different than cooking it, just saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. which end
like
do you like?
Giant, like a giant cigar.
Yeah. Well, they are kind of long and thin, so it would work. But if you light the wrong side, you're liable to get bit because the pike do have teeth.
Yeah. I'm going to.
Yeah, I bet he was pretty angry, too.
Oops.
What'd you do?
I'm trying to. We only have one more poem left, so I thought maybe we'd drop it and get it and read it. And then
let's do it.
Debris
yeah,
the rest of the
it.
Night. So we have. I'm thinking that he's probably not going to call in. So we have Wolf Spirit. I guess I will read for him.
Sure.
And it's called Fishing. I read this earlier, too. I like it. All right. Fishing by Wolf Spirit. Send the kids to Disneyland. Take your Shakespeare in your hand. Grab your Mitchell 301. Hitch up the boat. It's time for fun. Drop the remote. Kennel the pets. Call the job and hedge your bets. Ask wifey if she wants to go. Chances are she will say no. But if you have a wife like mine, she'll be the first to grab a line. Pack a bag of picnic goodies, grab the bug spray and two hoodies. Bring your cell phone just in case, find a quiet fishing place. Bring a cooler full of beer, relax and chant, here fishy here. Don't mind the gators or the snakes, bring your shotgun for goodness sakes. You can fish until early night, just wear a hat and hold it right. End poem. I like this. I know you don't go fishing, but
no.
I like some of the lines in here. Yeah, bring the cooler full of beer. And, of course, who you know what fisherman hasn't said? Yes, fishy, fishy, fishy. I say it every time I go out.
Right, fishy, fishy.
Mitchell 301.
That's
an old school Mitchell 301.
Yeah, yeah. I know, yeah, I like that, too. I like the reference to the Shakespeare, too. Shakespeare, the maker of the ugly stick. I got, like, six ugly sticks out of the shed. Most of my reels are Zebco. And a few from Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Zebco,
I like
yeah.
What'd you think of
the ugly sticks that, well, are the only ones my son-in-law will buy. Sorry, Kay. Oh, no, that's okay. I'll just say real quick, I like his poem. Yeah, I know. It's cool to have somebody to share that with. I just don't like to. I'd rather stay home. But, yeah, I like the sentiments there because it is cool to just get back out into nature and just, you know, enjoy the moment, enjoy the day. Because I know for you, fishing is it's a way of, you know, just getting away from it all, just enjoying the moment, the silence, just finding your zen again.
Yeah.
Yeah. De-stress.
De-stress, yeah.
Yeah. That's what his right brings to mind.
What did you think, Deb?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome, and the fact that it's something that they do together is really cool. I have a feeling that he would also take it home and cook it. So I think part of the reason some people don't fish, like Kay, do you eat fish?
No.
Tuna fish from a can.
From
it's
a
the
can.
Only fish I eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like, if I had to pick between lobster and shrimp, I would pick shrimp. But other than that, the only seafood I eat is tuna fish and scallops. So I think as I grew up, I was less likely to fish, but only because I feel like my same thoughts about hunting I do about fishing. If you're going to do it, eat it. It's not a trophy. It's, you know, not a game. You don't want to, I mean, I know that a lot of people do the catch and release, but hey, let me hook your cheek and then pull the, you know, throw you back. No big deal. It'll heal. It just makes me, it makes my heart hurt, so I don't.
What they do now with the big, like the blue marlin and the big tuna, the fin tuna and such, the trophies, they record it for you and you release it, and then they give you a plastic one that's made plastic. They do not mount trophy marlins and the elephant tuna anymore. They give you, they match up the poundage, what it would look like, and they give you that. But they're not.
Well, that's cool, but they still poked a hole in the poor fish.
They don't have any nerve in the fish.
I don't think a 700-pound marlin needs to worry. I see what you're saying, but you know what? Maybe they might see just as much sport in it as we do. I'm going to go out and get hooked today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure they do. You keep telling yourself that, Mr. Fisherman.
well, I grew up with the percentage of how many steelhead you would hook and how many you would actually bring in. So, break my heart.
Do you know what my dad always told me?
What?
The fish have no nerves in their lips, so they don't feel it.
I guess he told you that.
Just like a rabbit.
You mentioned the fish didn't have... Forgot to mention that fish don't have lips.
I remember my dad when we first turned him on to trolling, he would grab his pole and pull and set the hook. But with lead core line, it dips in the water, so when it's grabbed, the lead core actually hooks the fish where you don't need to do that. You just need to start reeling. He would pull in fish lips. Dad, don't jerk it so hard. We're not deep. They'll hook themselves. But he would grab that just like you do on the river. Pull right out of the lips of all. Damn, damn.
Calm down.
Well, that's one of the biggest things in my life was my dad was forcibly retired. He was one of these guys that went around teaching other states and other agencies old school ways compared to new school as far as counterfeiting, fraudulent check, cashing bank robberies, this kind of thing. So he was the connection between the two worlds type of thing. So when he had a stroke, they had to forcibly retire him because he couldn't speak the way he could before. So they forcibly retired my dad. My mom comes up to me after a couple of months because kid says, can you get your dad out of the house? He's driving me freaking crazy. He says, can't you take him up fishing? So I took my small boat and took him fishing. We just happened to knock him dead with lead core. My dad had never lead core, or never really fished lake. But we knocked him dead that day and limited out and brought home. Within 2 weeks, my dad had a tri-hull boat, downriggers. It's freaking good. But the place about two poles, two reels. A full, yeah. And my mom said, come over. She goes, God, I said, thank you. It was like a kid on Christmas. My dad was freaking,
yeah.
He needed
I love that. Fishing with those downriggers. Those are cool.
Yeah. But his way was always on the river. Really rough going, rough terrain, rough to get to, rough to get out of. That's what my dad was used to. When he figured out he could catch some nice fish by sitting in a boat, now he was in.
Yeah.
The rest of his life.
That mainliner that my dad had, he actually fashioned his own mast, and he actually, because he worked with wood a lot, he made his own planer boards, to move them away from the boat. But he did have to buy the downriggers. But most of the stuff he made himself for us to go trolling for walleye. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I found that the lead core worked as good as anything. I mean, the only way you can get deeper is just to let it sit still, let it drop, and then pull it back up out of the deep. But that lead core.
Yeah.
I like it a lot better than downrigging.
Well, I think my favorite part about that was the fact that when you got a, because you had like four lines out because there were two of us, or there'd be six lines out if there were three of us, but and they'd be on those clips on the lines going out to the planer boards, and as soon as one of them lines popped off the clip, you knew you had a fish. That was it.
Yeah, basically. Anything that was big enough to hit that to hit that clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they fish with the salmon out here off the West Coast. They cost you, you know, $3 a freaking weight.
Yeah. What
you got the steak?
What do you use
for the ocean? Or
in
the lakes, on the rivers.
Yeah.
Salmon roe, or in bag them up, or night crawlers and salmon.
Up here we use maggots, and I just always thought that it was kind of funny that you're going after such a big fish and you're using such tiny bait.
Yeah, that's true. You know, up in the mountains, you would not catch as many just with salmon eggs or worms. But if you put a salmon egg at the end of a worm, in like Union Valley and stuff, that was the cocktail that worked. When we started trolling with the needlefish, the rainbow needlefish with the pearl back, not the silver back, but the white backing, that and the bikini, which was the orange, that was like a spring topwater. The deeper you went, you get the ghost or the white, which is always a killer. Yeah, you could get a good 20 different patterns of a needlefish, two or three different sizes. That was what all the lake was about, the needlefish. If anybody asks you, you tell them worms, flashers and worms. What are you using? Flashers and worms. I didn't like flashers. I don't think I ever caught anything with flashers.
I finally found a picture of that lure I was telling you about that I catch a lot of bass with.
Oh, okay.
I'll drop it on the board as soon as my tablet lets me. I knew it was going to do that. There we go. You know what? Sometimes technology can really be upsetting.
Yeah. Got a sturgeon fishing four times and never caught nothing.
Here it comes. I have like eight different colors on this lure.
Yeah.
But the ones that work the best are yellow or white. Here it comes.
Wow.
There it is.
Oh, there you go.
Cool.
That's Kurt. Yeah. A lot of action.
Hey, Steven.
Are those wobbling?
Yep.
The link I put right around above your picture?
Yeah. Oh, is that the, one?
That's that picture I was telling you about where I would run. It's not to be read. I just wanted you to see the picture. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah. No, I know. I had read that the other day when she dropped it down.
How do you eat?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to bookmark that to comment on it.
So back to your lure, it's kind of cool. It's like a little family swimming together, enticing.
Is that our truce? Color out here is very important, how deep and the temperature of the water, how deep, what time of the year. What colors you use.
Yeah, but like I said, I've had the most yellow and my white one. And I remember the one time at Hidden Lake, I was casting out. I was on the north side this time, casting out. That's where the most trees are, is on the north side, so you got to be really careful when you're casting. And I was reeling it in, I don't know how many times, and I was like not catching nothing, not even a nibble, nothing. And then the one time I was reeling it in, and I just kind of looked to the right, and I saw a shadow. And I swear, I was like not even 5 feet away from shore, there's a largemouth just sitting there underneath a branch. So I kind of angled my rod towards it so the lure would go right past him. And right when it got in, wham, he hit it. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Taser. Taser. Yeah, a lot of the streams, you gotta go gorilla on it. You know, you can't be seen. They're gone.
Yeah.
Than that. Taser. God darn it. I'm sorry. Stay there. Cat problems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Here. Taser. Huh? Squeaking.
I hear.
Queen Elizabeth or Taser? Taser. Taser.
Yeah.
Come here, Taser. Taser.
No, wow.
Come here.
Wow.
Isn't it just odd? Such this weird sound.
Yeah.
Come on, cuddle next to you, purring. Wow.
I don't think I'd be able to sleep.
I know it. It's too human-like. Yeah, I spoke of the monster of the Lake of the Pines, the monster. That thing it was howling outside of my bedroom door up the lake. I don't know if I told the story. Joy was my roommate now. She was the caretaker of the lady who owned the property. And I was went up there and did a lot of the work and on that side of the lake for a lot of people, the rich people. But there was a sound that was just, check this out. Anyway, that's a whole story. I don't want to get it. I have to tell another time. Lake monster.
Yeah, you will. Now I want to know.
Well, you know, it's the Reader's Digest version. That isn't really. It was if you'd have asked me, a sound that is in nature in the mountains. There's nothing you could throw at me that I wouldn't know what it was, or a pretty good guess. The caretaker Joy. I was asleep apparently, and she couldn't wake me up with the walkie-talkie. But in the morning, she tells me that there was a sound that freaked her out so bad that she couldn't even stay on the back patio. The back patio deck was 3 stories high, so that you're always safe up there. But it was freaked her out. So I said, okay, well, the next 2 nights she's off, and I won't see Joy for another 2 days. Well, that next night I hear this thing outside my door, and it's a scream. It sounds like a howling monkey that's wounded in the trees. And that's what it sounds like. And it's very loud. Decibels are just freaking mind-splitting. Enough to where I'm there alone. There's no moon. I'm hearing this thing in the pine tree right outside my door. I go back in. I go, I'll figure this out later. So Joy shows up 2 days later. I go, I heard it, man. And she goes, oh, my goodness, she goes, what is it? I said, I don't have freaking any idea, but we're going to find out. So we waited, I don't know if it was that night or the next night, we hear it again. It's down by Mark and Jennifer. They were the next door, the mansion or the door, down at the lake by their dock in one of the big trees. And I can hear it. And Joy hears it. So I get I've got my samurai sword. I've got my freaking .38. I've got my freaking spear gun. Anything I could find, right? So I go walking down there, and there's no moon, of course, no moon. I don't have the landscape lights on, so I'm going down this path. Once I hit the oleanders, the light stops from the property that where Joy's at, and I go on this path down around this house down to the lake. And this thing's up in this freaking tree. So I think I know where it is. I'm inching my way down. Well, the thing isn't making no – it calls every – it makes its noise every 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so. And when you're waiting for it, it seems like a freaking hour. So I'm inching my way down. But by the time it freaking screams, it's behind me up in the trees. So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to drop out of onto the path. And I'm like, so I lose all courage right there. So I slowly, along the gazebo, freaking walk my way up the path. I get up, and I hit the light, but I only had this joy to see me. I'm doing the Barney Rubble, right? Just as freaking fast as I can across that. Couldn't figure out what the hell it was. This was it was just so loud, too. Now, I went online, and I said, okay, we've got to figure out what this is. Well, it was a damn cormorant, the freaking black duck. It's sort of long-necked, and across the point where we're at, across the point, the little bay, there's another point, and those trees, that's where the cormorants freaking roost every night at the lake. They all freaking clung in these one trees. Now, in the mating season, they get real loud and chase the young, won't let the young males freaking land on the in the top of the trees. So they kind of have to come across the cove to our trees, and they give this. It's a sorrowful. Have you ever heard a goose or something call for its mate at night? It's a sorrowful ache, heartache. It's like, that's what you hear all night. But when they, if this one was pissed or if it was hurt, then it sounded mammal. It sounded like a, you know how a cat can scream sometimes. It doesn't sound feline.
Yeah.
I had never heard anything like this. To this day, Joy doesn't think that was it, that it was a bird. But that was it.
Oh.
I was Mr. Commando Man. I had every weapon I could have on me going down there.
There was a duck.
That thing freaked me out. There's a long neck duck.
I'm really glad you said that. I'm glad you said about the weapons, because when you said commando, my I pictured something else.
No, but that's the way down where I'd go skinny dipping at night. That's the path I'd take. Hit the oleanders, I'm free. I was down there one time and the lights come on. Now, Mark and Jennifer are very rich people, very young, very rich people from the Bay Area, below the Bay Area, actually. And they could turn on their heaters and turn on the house and alarm and everything while they're traveling, you know, on their way up. So the house is heated. The tile warmers in the bathrooms are all warm and snuggly for them, right? So they can do it automatically. So all the lights come on. And I think, oh, God, they pulled in somebody's pulled in. Well, I'm naked as a jaybird down by the freaking pond, down by the lake. Didn't realize they were able to turn the house on 30 minutes, an hour out. But that was exciting, running up. Feel a little exposed. Anyway, it was probably the prettiest house on the whole lake, Mark and Jennifer's. The big A-frame thing that was custom made. It was who built it was the guys that had the patent on the computer software for slot machines. So they did everything anything they wanted, and Tepper Krupp, they were building on and on. Anyway, I would sit up there on the deck, you know, with my guitar, long hair, real long hair, and up there the boats would come by, and you could tell the rich people giving family tours around the lakes, looking at the houses. So they had the rumors were it was everybody from Mr. Google. I was Mr. Google, or I was some rock star for the 70s band, and they couldn't decide which one it was. Because it was the biggest house on it, I'd be standing there, and I was the only one. So you got to remember, Mark and Jennifer didn't come up but 3 months out of the year. So I had it the rest of this. I was the only one up there the rest of the year, 9 months. I was working on the property, upgrading, adding lighting, anything I wanted to do. Great job. But everybody thought I was Well, I told Mark, I go, Mark, they think you're, I go, what do you do for a living, may I ask? He just smiles and he goes, "Oh, it's sort of software security kind of thing." And I said, "Well, they think you're Mr. Google. Do you know that?" He goes, "What?" I go, "Yeah, the lake. These people around here, they think you're Mr. Google. That's the lure." You know, he laughs. He goes, "No, I'm not Mr. Google. I'm not Mr. Google." Nice people. Got everything. So, everything they need. Got everything they need. She, Jennifer, was an athlete and also her own business down in the Bay Area, Santa Clara, the software team, where the software empire is. Mark, same way. Mark was a very tall dude out of Stanford. They were very religious, very up forth. It demanded that you be honest too, or they didn't deal with you, type of thing. I was in the good graces with them, and they would spend their winter, they took a month off every winter, and they flew to Russia. They flew into Russia for the orphans up there, and they would bring freaking all these toys. That's where they would spend their vacation in the wintertime. Absolutely beautiful people. I would have to call Mark for permission to do something on their property. One time he's in China, one time he's in Taiwan, he was in Japan, he was in Germany, he was in England, he was in France. Finally said, "Hutch," he goes, "Hutch, you got to call Jennifer. I've got very minimal time. I'm in Russia, St. Petersburg. I can't talk right now." So I call Jennifer. Jennifer was on the floor of the stock exchange. Her business had just gone public. She goes, "I can't talk to you." So when they came up again, they said, "You know what? Why don't you just do what you think you need to do and give us the bill when you see us?" Like, bingo. Yeah, that's what I'll do. So that was my job. Anything I wanted on a mansion, this mansion place was cool. So cool. They were really happy with it.
Cool.
Yeah.
That would have ended. We've gone into overtime, Hatter. Did you want to?
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Crap.
Did you want to? It's your turn to, figure out the subject of the next man cave.
Yeah. You want to do some music?
Sure.
Yeah, music. Well, we're doing Motown Sunday, so this will be in a month. Let's see. I think we need to do another Jimmy Buffett. We'll do a Jimmy Buffett. What do you think? A night of Jimmy Buffett.
I'm good with that.
And let's do the beach for a prompt.
All right. I'm in. I'll fix it up for me.
Oh, it went over. Me and my story. I should have told the story. We would have been on time.
Oh.
Yeah. I wanted to hear the story.
Oh, no. Okay, Tommy. No, Johnny. I had a bad joke prepared, but it, too, the sensors will not let go. So, yeah. Stay in school. Well, the cave, hanging in the cave, talking to Steven. Steven, you got anything coming ahead this week?
Tomorrow night is Sky Show at 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's in the Volume 4 of The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Yeah.
And then the one I'm really looking forward to is on Monday night, The Mortuary of Shadows is doing another true crime, and we're bringing the gentleman that inspired movies like Psycho and Texas Chainsaw and Silence of the Lambs. We're bringing Ed Gein to the room. So that's going to be a cool one, too.
There you go. All right. And we got A.P. Taylor, myself, and Deborah Lee, Saturday, tomorrow. Tumbleweeds. Stop and say hi. And Sunday is my monthly music box. It's Phil, and we're going to do, Deb and I are going to do some Motown. You can write or not, but we're just going to play some Motown and talk about some of the bands and evolution of the sound.
Sounds cool.
And then we have pick your prompt Monday. Is that right, Deb?
Yes, Lions and Tigers and Bears. Oh, my.
Sounds like football. Sounds like football. And baseball.
Yeah.
So besides that, who did you pick up in the draft today?
Oh, I don't even pay attention to it. How about that?
I saw somebody wave walking out with a brown jersey under his arm. Yeah, I don't know who it was, though. He seemed too happy. I don't know.
Because we're going to rock this year, man.
You are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We did really good.
Yeah.
Was Manzarek
coming
back? Remember
a few years back, we didn't win any games just a few years back, so there's only one direction the Browns can continue going.
Yeah.
proud Browns fan.
Yeah.
I thought Cinderella stories are made.
This is for you, Deb. Say Lions and Tigers and Bears and then look at the board.
Lions and Tigers and Bears. Oh, my. I thought it was George Pataki or whatever his name is for a second there.
Oh, it is. That is.
George Takei.
That's George Takei. He's just he's gotten older.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, my. Nobody can say it like
that. Oh, my. All right. Oh, my. Oh, it's a gift.
Yeah.
A gift. All right. Well, you want to play a song heading out here? We already did a Jimmy Buffett. Do we have any other Jimmy Buffett? We already talked about him.
I don't know. Let me see. Let me see if I have.
Well, thank you everybody for stopping in, being a part. It was fun. We can take a Friday off and heavy riding and sort of goof around. Like I said, it can only get better.
Yep. Open. And it sounds like from the 80s.
Yeah. Nope, I don't have another one.
Don't worry about it.
I could always go out with your song, Hatter.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, love it. Thank you to our dynamic duo.
Thank you.
Both rock. Love and respect.
Fun night.
Where's the cat?
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down. Trying to run away and watching you.
tight. See you tomorrow.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye, guys.